Amen. Good morning, church. God bless your life. Amen. I am super excited to be here today to share to you what I believe. It is the word of God for this season that you're living in your life. And I'm excited to say that I'm pretty sure that God is going to operate in you miracles and your life is going to continue to grow in Christ. Amen. Now, last week, do you guys remember that we switched on the switch of praise in our life? Amen. We said we're going to praise on, we're going to praise to God, we're going to continue to worship the Lord no matter what the circumstances is. And today, I want to continue to talk about something a little bit almost in that area, but about praising on. Last week was praise on, today is praising on. Turn to your neighbor and say, praising on. Amen. We're going to be reading off the biblical text of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1-7. And it speaks like this: in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their face, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. They were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with a smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Amen. Thank you, God, for your word. Have you ever eaten a bad food or a disgusting food that once you place it in your mouth, it almost made you want to puke, made you want to gag? And although the food is out of your mouth, the taste is all over your mouth. And you can try to wash it down with water and the taste doesn't go away. So you go to the extreme. You go to something that is very practical. And it's what? Mouthwash. Right? I know some of us use mouthwash. There's a picture up there about mouthwash. And I'm not trying to make any commercial, any advertisement for any mouthwash. But we use mouthwash to get the nasty taste out of our mouth. It's our resources to go to. And actually, but some people, they don't like using mouthwash because there's a lot of side effects or negative things that by the use of. So you do whatever you decide in your life, whatever stance you like to take. But the use of mouthwash, it actually increased a lot around a year ago in the COVID era, because a university in California, they did a study where they indicated that if you've just been exposed to COVID and the COVID virus is in your mouth, if at that precise moment you were using a mouthwash for 30 seconds, it would kill the virus. So it increased the use of mouthwash. And it's pretty interesting how you can be going about the days or you thinking that your mouth is clean, but actually there's a virus inside of it, right? And that's what was probably happening to the prophet Isaiah, this biblical text that we just read. Isaiah was a prophet. And not only was he a prophet, he was a prophet with connections. He had ties to the king. The king was his uncle. It's always good, if you're not the king, to have connections to the king. Amen? So he was a prophet that had connection to the king. And up until the king died, you know, he was living life. He was prophesying. Could you imagine prophesying thinking you're a prophet, thinking that your mouth is an instrument of God, until the day that you actually have a 101 moment with God. And Isaiah had that 101 moment with God. And in that 101 moment with God, where he was exposed in such a powerful way to the presence of God, he says, "Woe to me!" Basically, I am doomed. I'm going to die. The reason why I'm going to die is because I have unclean lips. Wait a minute, I thought you were a prophet. I have unclean lips. And not only that, I live among a people with unclean lips. And that is something very powerful for us to observe. That in our Christian walk, in our spiritual journey with the Lord Jesus Christ, from here to heaven, from here to eternity, we have to understand the concept that maybe inside of our mouth, there's a little bit of filth. Although we're thinking that is an instrument for God. And last week when we talked about praise, we understood that the enemy tries to do everything to do what? To make sure that the praise inside of us don't come out. But we understood very powerful that the unique way that the enemy tries to attack is through life circumstances to portray or show inside of us that God is not with us, and therefore we end up doing what? We end up cursing God. We end up speaking ill of God. When we read in the biblical text on Job 2, verse 7 through 10, that is a scenario that we see. The Bible says like this, "So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, 'Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. Curse God and die.' He replied, 'You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?' In all of this, Job did not sin in what he said." So you see, the enemy strategy is in some way or so form by what you're going through make you feel that God is not with you so that you turn to God and you curse God. But last week we saw that no matter what we're going through, no matter the life circumstances, we got to continue praising God in all circumstances. Amen? No matter what we're going through, God is good. And if the circumstances are not favorable for us to say, this is a good circumstances, then we are going to rely on the character of God in order for us to praise him. That God is good because he is good. He is holy. He is loving and all that. Woo-hoo. We will no longer fall for the trap of the enemy. Amen? But our enemy, my grandfather used to say, the enemy works 24/7 is still able to make extra hours. And the enemy has a different strategy. When you don't fall for this trap, he'll use another strategy in order to invalidate your praise. And the way that he implements his strategy is by people. He put faces in front of you. All different types of faces he'll place in front of you. This is why the Apostle Paul, into the letter of Ephesians, he goes on to speak like this. For our struggles, Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against what? Flesh or blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of the evil in heavenly realm. The reason why the Apostle Paul had to mention this to the church is because we are not having people as our enemy. But we cannot truly see our enemy. But the enemy uses people to try to come in our lives, to sabotage our praise, to invalidate our praise. And the way that he tries to invalidate our praise is by a unique way. Is stirring up inside of us the contrary of praise, which is curse. You see, in the biblical text that we read in Job, the word curse comes from the Hebrew karak. And the origin of that is to praise, is to glorify, to magnify, to exalt. And it's funny how that same word that it is to praise, to glorify, is used to do what? To curse. You see, because it takes the same intensity. The same intensity inside of you that it takes for you to lift someone up, to praise God, is the same intensity inside of you that takes for you to do what? To curse. To bring them down. And what Scripture is showing us in such a powerful, beautiful way is that if to praise is to lift somebody up, to curse then will be to do what? To bring them down. If we praise God and put him in the most highest of place, to curse is to bring him to the lowest place in such a way that he becomes insignificant. And the enemy now, instead of wanting you to curse God, he'll make you want to curse that person that you woke up, you're having a joyful day. And on the way to work, he cut you off. And all of a sudden, you went, you beep! Beep, 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 beep! I was talking about the horn. You guys thinking something else? Oh, no. Beep, 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 beep! Not the horn. The horn of your mouth. And you go so much BB that you the enemy will try to do everything inside of you to do what? To make you curse people. To make you bring people down. And this is what James was speaking about in such a powerful way. That we cannot be falling for this trap, because this is a trap that ultimately will invalidate us in our praise. As Christians, we are called to be the salt of this earth, the light of this world. So therefore, we need to be what? We need to be examples. And can you imagine? Hallelujah on Sunday. Praise God on Sunday. And beep, 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 beep throughout the whole entire week. That doesn't work. And James, as he was talking to the brothers, he goes on to say in James 3:9, he says, with the same tongue, turn to your neighbor and say, with the same tongue, that you praise God. With the same tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we do what? We curse human beings that are made in the likeness of God. He goes on to say, it should not be so like that. It should not be so like that. That we need to have a consistency inside of us. If we're going to praise God, if we're going to lift up God, let us not lift God, but also at the same time, curse our brothers and sisters, curse people. And like I said last week, Jesus takes to the whole different level, right? Remember that? Our Lord and Savior, he does not like mediocrity. He calls you into the state of excellence. He calls you into the state of bettering yourself, leveling it up, Go into above and beyond. Don't just love your neighbor, but love your what? Your enemy. And Jesus sets up the criteria like this. In Luke 6, 27, 28. But you who are listening, I say. Anyone listening here today? Amen. This is the word of Jesus. But you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Now listen up. Bless those who what? Bless those who what? Curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And we have a tendency to curse people. Maybe what you're familiar with a curse is a curse word. But what Scripture is defining as curse is to make a person beneath you. Is attacking the character of a person so much that she is not in the same status quo as you, in the same level as you. And therefore, it's almost like she becomes insignificant to you. And it's funny because Jesus associated and manifested how dangerous this is. He goes on to say like this, Jesus, words of the Lord, Matthew 5, 21, 22. He linked cursing with murder. Wow. Look what the word of the Lord says. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or a sister will be subject to judgment. And again, anyone who says to a brother or a sister, raka, or fool, or foolish, is what? Is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, we forget this part. Sometimes we want to read past that passage so quick. Sometimes we don't like our pastors to preach on this message right now. Anyone who turns to their brothers and sisters and says, you fool, will be what? Will be in danger of the fire of hell. Jesus is linking up that in order for you to murder someone and going through with the act, and I'm not teaching anyone here how to murder, but in order for that to happen, that life, that human being that was made in the likeness of God has to be in such a place that is what? Insignificant to you. That is so low, that is so below you, that you don't even care for it. And Jesus is saying that the same essence of murder is the same essence of cursing. With one mouth we praise God and our Lord and the Father. And with the other mouth we do what? We curse our brothers and sisters. And we think, like I said, it's not about cursing. And I hope you're getting this today. Touch your neighbor and say, it's not about cursing. It's not about a bad word. It's about what? The heart. It's about the intensity of the heart. You can change up all the words. It doesn't matter. The intensity is what? It's there. You can go on to say, you son of a biscuit eater. It doesn't matter. The intensity what? Was there. It was there. And the enemy wants to use people to invalidate your praise. Because the minute that you are here thinking that you're an instrument of God, that your mouth is an instrument of God, you're walking like Isaiah. Oh, I'm prophesying. Oh, I'm praising. But it is the revelation to the presence of God continually, daily, that will inspire us to see, oh God, I have an unclean lips. Oh God. Oh God. And we are so quick to curse our brothers. We're so quick to bring them low, and our sisters. As spouses, we do it all the time. You grab hold to that one recipe that didn't go well. And then you say to the other one, you can't cook. You're not a good cook. You're not a good chef. We'll start bringing that person lower and lower by our words, our choice of words. We'll start attacking our spouses, the one that's supposed to be our flesh, our bones. One supposed to be one with us. Ultimately, we're attacking ourselves. By saying you're not smart, you're dumb. You're making the person lower and lower and lower. Jesus is calling us to have a consistency in our mouth. That the same way you praise God, that the same way you bring God up on Sunday, that the same way that on Monday, Tuesday, that no matter what's going on, you're able to praise God, you're able to lift Him up, you're able to say, God is good, God is amazing, God, I glorify Your name, God, I bring You to the highest of the highest. The same way that brother, that sister, that person that you don't even know, maybe your son, your daughter, most likely your mother-in-law. I'm just kidding, I love my mother-in-law. It might be anyone in your family, doesn't matter. Come on, man, don't talk now. Don't give hallelujah now, not the moment to give hallelujah. But it can be anyone. It does not matter. That person is made in the likeness of God just like you. He is a human being. He's a child of God. And you know His worth? His worth is the blood of Jesus Christ. The same worth that you had. That Jesus Christ died for Him and He also died for you. And that person is worthy of what? To be lifted up. To be exalted as. I wish we could create the culture in our lives, in our spiritual walk, to lift people up. In our jobs, may we lift the person up. May we lift up those who persecute us. May we lift up those in the church that maybe are not in the same spiritual walk that we're at. Maybe you're thinking that you have made a few strides a bit longer than them. That you're saying, man, they need a lot of counseling. They need a lot of prayer. They need a lot of teaching. They need a lot of discipleship. But don't tell them that. Lift them up. Lift them up on the things that they do great. And inspire to push people. Bring them. Because it is in our culture to, instead of lifting people up, for us to accuse their error. Accuse their mistakes. And instead of taking the role model and the example of Jesus, of letting all of yourself go so many can be raised up, we take on the example of the enemy to go before God and accuse. And I know that as I'm preaching, and I'd like to invite you to stand up because I want to pray for your life. I know as this word of God has been flowing to your heart, the Holy Spirit started convicting you of a few faces. There's a little bit of faces that started popping up in your head. faces that along the week, a little horns might have slipped out. Oh, church. Maybe it was inside of your house. Maybe it was your son, your daughter, your children. Maybe your husband or your wife. These faces are popping up in your mind right now. And at this moment, it's almost like you're having a bad taste of food in your mouth. Man, I didn't realize my mouth was so filthy. I didn't realize I had so much of this bad aftertaste. But like Isaiah, there's a holy mouthwash for you today. There's a holy mouthwash for you today that will cleanse out all that filth, that will forgive you of all those bad words. Forgive you of all those curses that you have placed upon your brother or your sister, the person that is flesh, that is bone, that is blood. Let us pray. Will you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, your children are here today because they decided to come and meet you here today. They didn't come here, Lord, to see a man speak. They came here to hear the word of God for their lives. They came here, God, to listen for the words of life so that they may continue living in you. And God, as this word was shared to their hearts, at this moment, Lord, they have noticed how the enemy has entrapped them into this lifestyle of cursing people, of speaking ill, of speaking bad of one another. But God, at this moment, with the power of your Holy Spirit, because the Bible says that a rock of fire the angel took out of the altar, Lord. Fire represents the Holy Spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit. At this moment, may you touch our lips. May you touch our lips. May you diminish from us, Lord, the action of cursing one another, the action of belittling one another, the act of backbiting one another. And may we, Lord, have a consistency with your character. Have a consistency with who you are. May we lift up your name. May we also lift up those around us. We ask forgiveness, Lord, from any spoken words of ill intent towards any human being. And may we no longer fall to the trap of the enemy. We pray in the name of Jesus. And the church says, amen.